Okay, so we're back, and we're going to be talking about fan reactions. So we'll be reading some message board comments and an email from a fan. Thank you, fans. Alrighty, so go ahead.
Alright, so the Stein Rose said, got to say that I was definitely happy that Castiel was back, but I think he got gypped. He didn't think he could make the trip, but yet he made it back. How did he even know Sam and Dean went back? Weird if you tell me. And another one of those plot bunnies where the writers just kind of put him in there and had him do something just so he's still in it. It's what they kind of did at the end of Changing Channels, where he's just standing outside while the boys talked at the car, and the same at Abandon All Hope, where they didn't even show him after everything. Kind of annoying they do this to the character.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm never going to complain about Dean Castiel, even if it's just for a little bit.
Yeah, I also was surprised by how much I like Castiel. I mean, I've always liked him, but with him not being around for the past few weeks and then seeing him, I was like, oh my gosh, hey, it's Castiel. He can be awkwardly social. It's so fun. But they do that with his character all the time. I think it's almost necessary because they want to enforce over and over that he doesn't know what to do with himself. So, you know, him standing around, you know, my favorite scene, honestly, of Castiel is him on the side of the road when Dean says, give me a few hours of sleep, and Castiel is like, oh, okay, I'll just stand here and wait. Like, you could go into a diner and have a piece of pie, like Dean would or something, but he doesn't know how. He doesn't know that. That's what makes his character great. Yeah. But it was very nice.
Actually, there was something that I picked up on with him being so weak from the trip. I immediately thought back to the episode, the end, and I sort of think that's maybe the first step to him losing all of his power and becoming like this human hippie type cast.
Yeah, we'll probably see that. I mean, if the show continues, they have to do something with Castiel, because I think they want to keep him. So if they're going to keep Castiel as a series regular, his story has to change. So I think he will eventually find God, since that's his quest. But when he does, I think after that, if he sticks around, he'll probably be human, which will be interesting. I don't want him riding the back seat or anything, but I do want him around. I just don't know in what capacity yet. Okay, so you want to go into the next?
Kid enough female character. Quickie said that Ruby was evil all along, but I wonder if in the beginning she really was, because they had to change the plot a bit for the writer's strike. I know mostly everyone hated Ruby. A lot of people were sick of Bella, and not a lot of people liked Dana either. I thought she was okay up until this episode, but it's like every time a girl threatens the boys in their relationship, they end up dead. Even Joe died, but most people didn't like her either. Anyways, kind of annoyed with that. I get most of us don't like them, but it doesn't mean kill them off all the time either.
Okay. Well, I agree. To an extent. I mean, there's no point in killing all of the female characters off, since we don't really have any reoccurring ones left. Bella's dead. Ruby's dead. Meg's around, kind of. But she's a demon. And then Ellen and Joe. So it's like, who's left? But, I mean, I don't mind them killing off girls either and the boys in their relationship, because, frankly, I don't want to see... I mean, I watch a lot of good television that has great women characters on it. I love them, and, you know... but... this is Supernatural. I don't really care to see the women on there. I just don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I always kind of... to be honest, I liked Ruby and Bella because they sort of... I was one of the rare people that did actually like them. I mean, I didn't like Ruby in season 4, but I liked her in season 3. And so... I do get why they kill all these women off, because they don't really necessarily fit into the show.
Yeah, at a certain point they don't have any role anymore. I mean, I liked Ruby. I liked Katie Cassidy's Ruby, because hers was interesting. And I would have loved to see what Katie Cassidy could do with Ruby's transformation into evil, because in season 3 she's not evil. I don't care what Kripke said. None of her motivations seemed evil. And I know they were trying to pull the big old one over on the fans. Oh, look, you think she's good, but she's really not. But as soon as Genevieve Cortez got there, as soon as, it was very clear that Ruby was evil. It was very clear that she was out to get Sam. So it was kind of like, you know, if you wanted to keep this a big secret, maybe you should have got an actress who was actually capable of doing that. But anyway, that's my issue with her. but yeah, I mean, there's some female characters that are worth staying on the show, but, you know, we don't have any more, so we'll have to see if there are more come around. So, do you have anything else to say, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay, these next comments come courtesy of Terry. Sam wears women's underwear. And the first is about Marion Dean. And she says, and then the flashback to Marion, her calling her baby Troublemaker. Also, great continuity for House of the Holy. I think that was the episode where when Dean was saying that Mary had told him that angels were watching over him. Very nice indeed. And they are, just to make sure he says yes. And I love that comment because Mary and Dean together, it's so pure. You know, Sam and Mary never had any big connection because Sam was, 6 months old when she died. But Dean and her do have this established bond that has come up in episodes. And I don't know, I loved also the continuity with angels were watching over him. You know, that is a cliche to say to a baby, but look at this. A cliche was rather, you know, provide a little bit of foreshadowing. So that was neat.
And it was also sweet. It's also
sweet
to see Mary and Dean. And Troublemaker's such a great thing to call Dean.
I know. Oh, he's such a wonderful troublemaker, though. Okay, so yeah. Next is about Cass and Sam, which I love, love, love this comment. So then Castiel admitting he and Sam are friends, which I have to admit, I haven't seen that myself. I mean, he's friendly with Sam, but what I say Cass and Dean are friends, but that Cass and Sam are just allies. Then Cass threatening Anna on Sam's behalf, how cool is that? Okay, I totally agree, Terry. I loved seeing Castiel and Sam being referred to as friends. And we don't really see it. You know, Sam has been more annoyed with Castiel, especially last season. But now it's kind of like, oh, they are friends. Oh, cool. He's not, like, Castiel isn't just this annoying figure who's in love with Dean. Which, you know, we all know that. But it's more like, you know, an actual, you know, an ally slash friend. So I loved that, and I loved that Castiel was willing to stick up for Sam. Because, you know, Sam is the vessel of the devil. So Castiel referring to this vessel of the devil as his friend was such a big, you know, such a big statement on Cass's character's behalf. It was very profound. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it as well, because last season, of course, Castiel was very uncomfortable around Sam, and it was all those issues with demon blood and the powers, and of course. But now they're they are allies, because it's just Sam and Dean and Castiel sort of as the group. And I'll admit that when Castiel said, "I'm sorry, friend," I squeed so loudly that I had to rewind this thing. So of course I love that moment.
Yeah, it was a great moment. Okay, so I think next we're going to Shane.
Yep, I'll read the email. He sent us an email about the podcast, which reads, "Can't wait for more. This is one of the most laid-back, free-flowing, supernatural conversations I've ever heard. You guys don't hate anybody for their differing views, and that is awesome. I hope this podcast goes on for a long time. You guys are awesome." Aww.
Thank you, Shane.
Everybody
should be more like Shane and email in with questions or comments or even praise like that. I can hear praise all day long and it doesn't matter to me whatsoever. So, yes, thank you again.
Shane's comment about the episode. "And as the curve's still straight, but those cherries more than most guys would admit to, guy on the board, I have to say that the opening scene with Dean, the strippers, and Cherry Pie rock. I have been waiting for them to use the song ever since I discovered that they used a mainly classic rock soundtrack. I thought they were using it in Sex and Violence, considering the killer stripper storyline."
Yeah, the last time I considered myself curved was probably in elementary school. So now that I'm no longer curved and just straight old gay, I was a little uncomfortable at the whole scene. But it was perfect for Dean's character. You know, that song is, you know, quintessential Dean.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's so what I seem to be dreaming about most of the time.
Yeah, I know.
Not dreaming about Sam, obviously, but
grudgingly have to agree that that probably is what Dina's dreaming about, even though I don't want to admit it, but probably just a little bit. Okay, so I think now, since Julia wasn't able to join us today, we have some of her comments that we'll be able to bring up. She writes, I am so sick and tired of Dean's idea of setting things right. Doesn't he understand that Azazel's plan is going to go through no matter what? Didn't he learn anything from what is and what never should be? Sidebar from Steve, that is a wonderful episode. There's a reason that what happens in that episode should never happen. The second Mary made the deal, Sam's fate was sealed, and he would either have died in the competition or lived and become a monster without his brother. But okay, let's ring around this stupid fucking Rosie again, because Dean never learns. Thank you for
harsh,
your...
Thank but you. Fair.
Yes, harsh but fair. Harsh, a little harsh for Dean, but I agree. It's he hasn't learned, you know. I mean, he went back in time before. He saw the way things worked. Why are you trying to do it again? But
because he's too stupid for his own good.
Right. You know, he means well, though. He's not so smart, but he means well. Let's remember that. I agree.
He wanted to get his family the way that he... So a bit like the way that he was in What Is and What Should Never Be, for them to all be fine and happy and alive. But it's never going to work.
I mean, in Dean's psyche is this neurotic need to, I think, to have this family unit be okay, you know, for him to save his dad or to keep his brother safe, you know, or to go back and have his mom alive and everyone be fine. But as he learned in that episode, and as he should know, that doesn't work like that. He should be more concerned with fixing the world as it is now than going back and setting things right, as you say, Julia, because that's not going to work. It's wasting time, you know. It's a massive, wasted hour, really, to tell us this. Well, I love the episode, but telling a story that basically didn't really accomplish anything, because, you know, that wasn't going to happen. So, the next comment from her. I enjoy the scene where Dean told Mary he was her son. Very interesting, though I'm so sick and tired of being okay with dying or not existing or whatever. I do, however, think that it's interesting that Dean's okay with Sam dying, only if he gets to die as well.
Codependent.
Yeah. Ridiculously codependent. But, yeah, I mean, true. You know, it was a sweet scene with Dean and Mary. But I also, when he said, you know, okay, you know, I'm okay with, you know, me and Sam never existing, I was thinking, what is wrong with you? That's ridiculous. That's, you know, okay, he threw himself in front of a bus to save Sam when Sam died at the end of season 2. But, I mean, stop willing to just give yourself over. You know, this martyr act is like 3 seasons old, and I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's one of the things that's never going to change about Dean is his willingness to die for Sam and to sort of protect him. But I think the reason why he'd be okay with him dying is Sam dying is he never does, if he does as well, it's because if he doesn't exist, he never knew Sam. He'd never have to know the pain of losing Sam. Therefore, it'd be okay.
Right.
In his mind, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that is Dean in a nutshell. So, in his mind, very important statement right there, because his mind certainly does not work the way all of everyone's does, but, you know, whatever. He means well, really, people, he means well. Okay, so, and finally, Julia says, episode equals enjoyable to watch, but ultimately pointless and kind of dumb, except we got to see Anna die, and discover that Michael knows the truth about Sam and Dean, too. Yeah, that is a good encapsulation of the episode. I mean, at the end of the day, nothing really got accomplished other than hopefully they finally realized you can't go back and screw things up.
They should realize it, but I don't think they will. It's that Winchester thing, they're being stubborn.
Yeah, they are being stubborn. Well, so we have 20 seconds left. I just want to thank everybody for listening, if anyone is, and to thank Shane for his email and his praise. Everyone else can follow suit. We have 10 seconds left. You want to say anything?
Just email in with anything about the episode or anything, and that's all I have